The reading this evening is from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 40. This can be found on page 1036 of the Church Bibles. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town, who lived a sinful life, learnt that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with her alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Gail. I want to tell you a story this evening. It's about a dinner party I went to many, many years ago. You're going to have to use your imagination for this. Okay, be warned. Make yourselves comfortable. This is Sermonori. Simon was always the one to invite interesting people into his house. He liked to know what people were about, and he was pretty shrewd, I think. He wasn't afraid of giving his opinion either, and you knew that you were in for an interesting evening if you were included on his guest list. There'd been quite a buzz around the town concerning Jesus. He was associated with John the Baptist, and I think some people had got them muddled up at times. They were cousins, I think, something like that. Jesus wasn't quite like any other rabbi I'd met or seen or heard before. He spoke with an unusual authority, and people were drawn to him. He had a way of teaching that on the one hand made things seem incredibly simple and straightforward, and on the other challenged the very heart of everything that you did or believed. The strangest thing about him, though, was the way that people were changed when they asked him for help. We saw people brought to him on mats who would get up and walk away on their own. And he kept on moving around. You'd think that a rabbi with such a great following would stay in one place so that people could come and find him, know where he was when they wanted him. But Jesus seemed to be constantly on the move, reaching out to different people and communities, almost as if he was looking for them. He kept company with a very strange rabble too. Fishermen, tax collectors, women of ill repute. He didn't seem to want to spend that much time with the religious people and the teachers. In fact, most Pharisees seemed to find Jesus an uncomfortable character to have around. They really took against him. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe they thought he was too radical, a bit of a sensationalist, perhaps. Things did seem to get shaken up whenever he was around. He wasn't great at following the rules either. His disciples ate grain that they'd picked on the Sabbath. And he'd eaten with Gentiles on more than one occasion, as if that was perfectly okay. Any self-respecting Jew would understand that they were putting themselves at real risk when they did things like that. To be so unclean intentionally was religious and social suicide. The sacrifices that Jesus and his followers should have been arranging to sort out those little messes would have kept them busy for some time, but they didn't seem terribly worried about it. On this particular evening, Simon had invited Jesus, and it was warm and fine, a bit like tonight. So they were eating in the courtyard. Jesus arrived at Simon's house and reclined at the table. I think Simon must have been a bit distracted that night, because I noticed that his servants didn't refresh Jesus' feet, and he didn't offer Jesus the usual greeting of a kiss and a dab of perfume or oil on the head. Maybe that was just because it was so busy. Jesus' reputation preceded him, and quite a few people crowded in to hear what he had to say. We were looking forward to a memorable evening. The Pharisee and the rabbi should have made for quite a conversation. It did become memorable in an extraordinary way, though. And I guess Simon would quite like us all to forget. As Jesus was eating and chatting, a woman crept forward and stood at his feet crying. It was clear to us all that she was a prostitute. She shouldn't have been there in a public place, brazenly approaching a rabbi, even one as unusual as Jesus. I assumed that he hadn't realized quite who she was. Maybe he thought one of Simon's servants had finally got round to washing his feet, since they hadn't done it when he came in. When her tears started to fall on his feet, I expected him to shoo her away at any moment. But he didn't. Even when she let her hair down and started to wipe his feet dry, he didn't flinch. What respectable woman lets her hair down in public? It's scandalous. She opened the alabaster jar hanging round her neck and poured the perfume she'd used to make herself attractive to her clients all over his feet. he wasn't going to get rid of that smell for a while, and everyone would know who'd been touching him. Now, you could see from the expression on Simon's face that he wasn't at all happy about this. But he didn't know what to do for a moment, and then Jesus spoke directly to him. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Now, I confess that that wasn't what I was expecting. Jesus did have a reputation for his little parables, but what on earth did that story have to do with this situation? Simon wasn't the sort of person to need a loan, and he certainly wouldn't have wanted it talked about in public if he had and couldn't repay his debt. Simon was the sort of man who had life really sorted. He followed all the rules. His reputation was solid and respectable. He was careful to behave perfectly in public. No one could ever accuse him of being weak or vulnerable. If there was anything that wasn't quite perfect or respectable, he was very careful to keep it hidden. Well, we all do that, don't we? If we can. We all wanted to have the kind of confidence that Simon had in his good lifestyle and the righteousness that comes from following the rules so perfectly and precisely. He was a great role model and a bit of a hero to the younger men. But the woman at Jesus' feet, well, she was the perfect example of the complete opposite. She broke all the rules. She sold herself to men, encouraging them to be unfaithful to their wives, making them unclean and leading them astray. She probably hadn't been inside a synagogue for years. Actually, I'd be amazed if they let her anywhere near the place. She had no dignity or sense of decorum. She just turned up, practically threw herself at Jesus' feet, and seemed to think that he would be interested in her as a person, even though she was such a mess. What a presumption! I don't know how she had the nerve even to look at the rabbi, let alone blub all over him and expect him to be pleased with her gift. But amazingly, Jesus seemed quite touched and delighted by her attention. He even pointed her out to Simon, as if he hadn't noticed. He said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Simon looked like he wanted the ground to open up and swallow him. It wasn't really very polite of Jesus to point out his failings as a host, and to compare him to that woman as if she was better in some way was just insulting. I suppose you might think that she was showing love and respect if you took Jesus' point of view, but she certainly didn't deserve that attention or praise. Even more extraordinary in my eyes is what came next. Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." For a woman with such an appalling reputation to be told that her sins are forgiven without even going to the temple to sacrifice was shocking. How could someone like that be said to have faith? She seemed to love and trust Jesus, not to reject her from the moment she came to him. I don't think that anyone would have spoken to her like that for years. I wonder if she even knew what it felt like to experience peace. We all thought she'd end up being caught and stoned one day, not given a fresh new start publicly that she definitely didn't deserve. Who was he to say that to her? Did Jesus think that we were all just going to forget who and what she was? But she didn't seem to be bothered by what we thought anymore. She left with an air of dignity and as if a weight had been lifted from her shoulders. I've thought about that a lot since then. And if I'm completely honest, I felt a little bit envious. How amazing it would be to know that you're accepted and forgiven for everything you'd ever said or done that was wrong. Who was this Jesus? How come wherever he went, there seemed to be transformation? It was like he brought a new way of looking at the world, shone a light into dark corners, brought a fresh new life to all sorts of people who trusted him. I've wondered a lot about that evening, about the hospitality shown by Simon, who should have at least followed the rules and made Jesus welcome. But somehow the one who always got things right messed up that night. Was he distracted? Was he relying on his own reputation? Was he just a bit too sure of himself? I feel a bit sad that he didn't make Jesus welcome and happy. It could have been such a great friendship. Simon had studied hard to get to where he was. He reckoned that he'd earned respect and his social standing. When I look at him now, I'm not so sure I'd want to be in his shoes. He didn't seem very free or confident when things weren't to his liking. His heart and hospitality seemed a bit hard and hollow in the presence of Jesus' warmth and wisdom. I've wondered about the woman. It wasn't even her house. She didn't have to wash and dry Jesus' feet and then anoint him. I think she did it because she really loved him. She saw in him the one who could set her free and who wanted to do that. She willingly became vulnerable, open to ridicule and rejection from the masses when she gave Jesus all she had, her tears, her hair, her possessions. She seemed to everyone else to have nothing worth bringing. And yet she left richer, healed, restored, forgiven, free, confident of her place in Jesus' heart. And Jesus, now there's a man. He seemed to become the host wherever he went. He welcomed people to come into his presence. He may not have had a home, but wherever he was, seemed to be somewhere for others to belong. He brought forgiveness, welcome, and joy. And some people found that intensely uncomfortable. It challenged their preconceptions, their prejudices, and their defenses. And yet others, who had nothing, who knew they deserved nothing, found everything in his presence. I've heard that Jesus left instructions for his followers to do the same as he did. That evening, I saw a man who knew the risks he was taking with the religious authorities and society at the time, and still reached out to the rejected. His followers can do the same. I saw a man who saw and understood the mess and the failure, the hurt and the pain, and accepted all the woman brought with love and dignity. He gave her value and hope. His followers can do the same. I saw a man who spoke gently but with integrity and challenge where wrongs needed to be righted. His followers can do the same. Let's just stand together for a moment and reflect on what God may be saying to us this evening. As Jesus' followers, the church today, here and now, we have the ability and the right to challenge injustice and prejudice and speak out for the vulnerable and the oppressed. We have the capacity and the resources to welcome all comers, to hear and hold the pain in our world before God, seeking his forgiveness and restoration. We're called out of our comfortable places to travel with others, to seek the hurting, and to bring God's welcome tangibly wherever we go. We're called today to be bringers of peace, to pray for the healing of hurts, to actively work to restore lives and bring freedom and joy. Father, would you make us a place where everyone is welcome, where every person can feel that they truly belong, where your love and mercy overflows from our worship and into your world. And more than that, would you show us how to seek out those you would have us find for you, wherever they may be. Amen.